A life of following. What does it mean to follow? You know, and I, as you go through Peter, the book of 1 Peter, we have one more sermon left, and that'll be 12 weeks that we've spent in the book of 1 Peter. But following, what does it mean to follow? You know, we spend so much time in America trying to be independent that we don't want to follow anybody. You know, but when we put ourselves into classes and different things, and if you're a Republican, you follow this person. If you're a Democrat, you follow this person. If you're an independent, you're just independent and you do whatever you want. And you have all these things that when it comes down to it in the life of a Christian, which is what we're talking about, there's two people that you can follow. You can follow, well, maybe it's not a person, but you can follow the ways of the world. Or you can follow Jesus. Pretty simple. Pretty cut and dry. There are no loopholes. There are no gray areas. It's either Jesus or the world. And if you've either been on either side of that fence, you understand that. I have a friend, and I've talked about him before. He talks about his old life. When he became a Christian, the biggest thing that he has to do in his life is not go back into that criminal thinking. He doesn't want to go back into the old lifestyle because it'll just suck him back in. So he has to be very alert. And that's actually next week's message, is a life of alertness. Because that's where Peter goes. He goes, you have to know who to follow. You have to understand following. I think the best way to understand following is to understand leadership. Who do we follow as Christians? We follow Jesus, but did you know that Jesus sets up a hierarchy in the churches? You know, he gives you people to lead, people to inspire, people to protect you, people to shepherd you, to teach you, to disciple you. Why? So you can become closer to Jesus. I think the American church has got this messed up. We brought in democracy into the church. And we want to have, everybody wants to have a vote on everything. I don't see that in Scripture. And maybe that makes you upset. It does. Sometimes the truth hurts. That we are actually in a hierarchy. You know, we follow Jesus, who sets up a head of the church, a head of the family, all the way to him. And today I want to talk about elders, I want to talk about deacons. But mainly, I want to talk about elders. But first, we'll get to that. 1 Timothy 3:1 says, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work that he desires to do. In our church, we have elders and we have deacons. And there are the men who have been selected as deacons have been set aside by you and by the elders for a special service. We have three men. I'm going to mention them. We have Dave Mosier, we have Trevor Hodge, and we have Darren. You know? And we have these three men that are serving as your deacon. So what does a deacon do? We'll get into it mainly, but I want you to look at it this way. Deacons are in charge of the ministry of the church. If you look at the church as a building, and that's your model, they take care of what happens inside the church, the ministry of the church. I mean, so that's where they are. I mean, that's just really vague. I understand that. But then you have elders. They oversee the ministry of the church, and they are in charge of the mission of the church. Once again, if you are in a building setting, what happens outside the walls? The outreach, the programs, the vision, things like that are what the elders are in charge of, as well as protecting, making sure correct doctrine is taught and preached, and things like that. And we'll get more into that. But these three men, these three deacons, have been chosen, and they are men of good reputation, and they're full of the Spirit of God. People in our congregation have noticed that. They have nominated them, and the elders have taken and they have gone through and looked at all the qualifications listed out in the scriptures and see if they meet those or if they're working to meet those. there is nobody perfect. But there are people that understand that. And they still strive to be perfect and set an example. But here, let's go to Acts 6, 3 and 4. That's what it says about deacons. It says, "Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and full of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task." And this is simply talking about the apostles. They got busy with the church, and things started happening. And all of a sudden, there's some widows that are getting neglected. And they say, "We don't have time for this and this and this and this. We need to," if you go on, it says, "but we need to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So choose 7 men. We think 7 men is enough to get this task done. So that they picked men. So they sent the group out. They nominated, if you will. That's our terminology. And they brought them to the elders. And the elders looked at them, laid hands on them, set them apart for leadership or for service. Okay? I just want to say that leadership in a church is very hard, as leadership is anywhere. I found this little illustration. You might laugh. You might not, but I'll tell you anyway. It says, a preacher quit the ministry after 20 years and became a funeral director, which is odd in my life. But anyway, when asked why he changed, he said, "I spent 3 years trying to straighten out John, and John's still an alcoholic. Then I spent 6 months trying to straighten out Susan's marriage, and she filed for divorce. Then I spent 2.5 years trying to straighten out Bob's drug addiction, and he's still an addict. Now at the funeral home, when I straighten them out, they stay straight." That joke went over pretty good, didn't it? I'm just saying. The work as a church leader can be difficult at times. But, because not everybody stays straight. You know, there has to be a lot of grace and a lot of teaching and a lot of understanding. But it is our advantage as a church to take hold of our leaders, lift them up, and fully support them. It's our advantage to do that. Here, listen to this verse from Hebrews 13:17. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you." And if your leaders are just bogged down and they hurt and they're being hurt constantly, that is not profitable to you. It's not profitable to any church. And a church that doesn't have leadership is not going to have vision, and the church is going to die. It's just going to stop. It's not going to do anything. So you have to understand that we need to hold our leaders up. We need to support them. We need to pray for them. And sometimes when we think that we know better than the leaders, maybe that's God calling you to step into that position with them. Because you might have a call from God that you're not answering. And let me tell you something. It's really easy to sit on the sidelines and chuck stones until you're sitting in the meetings, until you're on your knees praying, until you're holding somebody's hand, until you're doing whatever as a leader. It's really easy to sit over to the side or sit in the back or have a conversation somewhere else. There's no profit in that for you. And if you think that's your duty as a Christian, is to keep the elders and deacons in line, I think you're adding to Scripture. There's a reason that leaders and teachers are judged more harshly by God. Because they have taken on a great responsibility and a great calling. Now, I'm not saying don't question them. But what I am saying is you can hold them accountable just as they hold you accountable, but you need to support them. And you need to love them. It is important that we have a leadership, we have men in leadership who know that they are called. Because because it is a calling from God. You know, I look at my ministry. I was called from God. I can tell you exactly where I was sitting, exactly what I was doing when God said, you need to be a pastor. I was in Colorado. I was in the 8th row up from the front. I was sitting next to a very cute girl. And I remember that because she reached over and grabbed my hand, and I thought, oh, that's bad timing because God's talking to me. And I went forward. I spent a lot of time considering the call. And I've questioned the call. But the thing is, I still have moved forward. So what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about our elders. I want to talk about the position of elders. And I don't want us to forget about our deacons, because they're important too. But I want to talk about elders. They are to serve Jesus by taking care of the physical, spiritual, emotional needs of the congregation. The terminology you're going to see is shepherd, flock. You know, if you understand anything about being a farmer or anything about cattle or sheep or pigs, you don't let... There's a hierarchy there, too. I've never seen a cow talk back to the farmer. That'd be interesting, but you get my point. So let's go ahead and turn to 1 Peter, and we just got four verses today. 1 Peter 5. It'll be on the screen, right, John? Yep, you nodded his head. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as partakers in the glory, in that the glory is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willing, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive your unfading crown of glory. So number one today, there's obviously the ministry of the elder. What is an elder supposed to do? How is he supposed to serve? And I said earlier that he oversees the ministry, oversees the deacons and the ministry of the church, but he's also in charge of the mission of the church, which happens outside these walls. But the true ministry of an elder is to shepherd the flock. He is the one with the cane that's protecting you from wolves, that's smacking you on the nose when you want to run over a cliff, that's carrying you back to the flock when you run away. He is the one that just loves the position. Why? Because he understands that it glorifies God. But he also understands that the shepherd leads the sheep, but doesn't drive the sheep. Can't make the sheep do anything. He has to be the person that is out in front setting the example so the sheep can follow. Not in the back with a whip going, because that doesn't work. Lead the sheep. Shepherds protect and care for the sheep. They do not just count them to see if they're where they're supposed to be. They're supposed to protect them, care for them. When one is gone, you go to that one. Acts 20:28-30 says, be on guard for yourselves and for the flock, talking to elders, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. You know, elders need to guard themselves. They need to be in prayer. They need to be studying. Because that's what helps them be a better shepherd. Because as leaders, we get busy. Life happens in us, just like life happens in you. But because of that calling from God, They're more open to see what's going on. And there are things that happen. People come in and they teach wrong things. They're called wolves. They come in and they devour and they try to take disciples. You know who disciples are? We're the disciples. The church is the disciples. You're trying to follow God. And there are wolves. Like I said last week, there's a spiritual battle going on. It's happening. The ways of the world versus God. And Satan wants us to follow the ways of the world. He is a defeated being. Christ has beat him. We're on the winning team. You know, I mean, that's what it says here. It says in Acts 20 again, shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Take care of my sheep. Elders, pay attention. Take care of my sheep. If you're desiring that position, that's what's going to be asked of you. Take care of my sheep. John 2, or 21, starting with verse 15, says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, who wrote 1 Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to them, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. An elder is called to take care of the flock and those needs to be just as important to them. And why do I tell you this? So you can follow better. So you can understand what's going on in the mind of preachers, in the mind of elders. It's your spiritual care. It's your physical care. You know, often enough, forgive me this, I don't say I love you enough. I do this because I love you. I preach hard things because I love you. I get upset with people because they don't take things seriously enough because I love you and I want the best for you. And it's interesting that people don't understand that. I think Peter saw that. And that's why he talks about this. If you're going to do life, and you're going to do life well, you have to be involved in a church, either the Morningside Church of Christ or somewhere else. You have to look at the leadership, and you have to understand who they are and what they're about. And in a good eldership, that should be very easy. Because a good elder usually lays down anything that they're doing and listens to you. I never knew how important that was in ministry until when I left my first ministry after about 10 years. They made a little book for me, and they wrote down things in there. And the main thing that they wrote down was, no matter what, you listen. And I thought, I did? You know? There's an attitude that comes with leadership, and I don't tell you that to brag. I just say I understand how important that is. When there's genuine concerns and needs, an elder needs just to stop and listen. Taking care of the flock needs to be the most important thing. They also are in charge of ministering of the word. Acts 6:4 again, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Our elders are men who love you and who are praying for you. How do I know that? Because I'm involved with that. I've seen tears shed. I don't mean to embarrass the guys, over your guys' situations. Whether it's a surgery, whether it's you lost a loved one, or your job is on the rocks, or whatever. I've seen them laugh because everything's going good. You know, and you shared a testimony that they shared with the rest of the elders. Our elders are men who study the Word of God. They both study the Word of God collectively. We take time in our elders' meetings to talk. And the things that we're going to be talking about in 2015 is correct doctrine, correct leadership and ministry of the Word. But they not only do it collectively together, they also study on their own. It's really interesting as a pastor sitting there with these guys that I know pretty well, because they call me, they minister to me, they talk to me, but to hear us talk about situations, to hear them quote Scripture. And I don't tell you that again to brag about our elders, but I do that to tell you that they're men of the Word. And these men are Harlan, Steve, and John and John. They have been set aside to oversee and shepherd the flock here at the Morningside Church of Christ. They will need our support, and they will need our prayers. This work is one of great responsibility, and in order to be able to be carried out, these men will need to feed on the Word of God daily. You hear me say it a lot to you. You need to be in your Word. You need to be reading. You need to be studying. Times that by 100, that's what I expect out of our elders. Because they have to be men of the Scriptures too. So they can lead. So they can set an example. And it has to be done daily. Number two today, we're still in verse 2, the motives of an elder. What is their motives? Because the motive to being a leader in a church is very important. Early on in my ministry, I met a guy who came to me and said, "You need to nominate me for an elder. I have things in this church that need to be fixed." I was like, "I don't know if that's a very good thing to have you as an elder, because you're going to come in and you're going to save the eldership and things like that." And that's a great attitude. But he wasn't asking himself the question, "Am I called to be an elder?" And obviously, nobody else in the church had thought about it, because just like this church, that church spent a couple months nominating. And nobody had nominated. So the elders talked to him, and I pushed him on to the elders, and we all discussed things with him, and he was upset. Because everybody who gets into eldership, there's not much power in eldership. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of late nights. It's a lot of six-hour meetings. It's a lot of time on the phone with the pastor. That could be a good thing, though. You know? It's a lot of work besides your job that you're doing to make money. It's a lot of work. Power is the last thing that should be on your mind. The motives of an elder, they need to be determined. People that understand the calling, and they want to follow, because they need to be men that set the example spiritually to what you want to be like. I have men like that in my life. There was when I was a little boy, we lived on a place that had some farming buildings, and an elder from our church kept cattle there. I remember walking out to him, working with him, talking with him, as much as a 5 or 6 year old could do, until I was in junior high, talking and talking. And he always, him and his wife, always took time with me, walked with me, prayed with me, knew when I was having good things and bad things. And because of that man and a few other of my elders, I'm a pastor. There's no other question about it. I would have never been open to those things if someone wouldn't have the time to walk with me, talk with me, laugh with me, oh yeah, get mad at me. Because let me tell you, when he wasn't around, I'd go out and mess around with the cows and the pigs and the hay and Man, we all done that, right? And he didn't like that very much. And I heard about it. I heard about it out of love. The elder is to shepherd the flock voluntarily, not under compulsion. You know? It's not a vote of who's most popular. Well, these four guys are the most popular in the church, so of course, they're going to lead the church. No, we had this big election, and no, it's not like that. It's not under compulsion. The first qualification that Paul gives us in 1 Timothy 3:1 is a man who desires to serve. I've been with men in the past who have not desired to serve. They desired the authority. Have to desire to serve. You have to twist an arm or beg on your knees someone to be an elder, a few months down the road, they're not going to be a leader any longer. If they haven't heard the call from God, there's nothing that I can do or you can do to make them be a leader. And that's important for you to understand as you follow. Shepherding the flock can be tiring work. John 10:11-14 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Can I add to that? He only cares about his paycheck. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. And Jesus stepped in front of the wolf and gave his life for the sheep. Elders are called to be men like that. To step in front of things. That's why bylaws are important. And as I grow in ministry, pushing 20 years, by the way, as I grow into ministry, I see the importance of bylaws. But you know what else I see the importance of? Policies and procedures. Who gets to teach at our church? One of the best policies that we go by is members of our church get to teach. Because if you're not a member of our church, you are, in this illustration, just a hired hand. You're someone that comes and shows up and does a few things, but you haven't committed. You haven't said, this is my home. This is my place. This is where I'm going to make a stand on the Word of God. So when it gets tough, when someone questions you or something happens, you're like, whatever, do whatever you want. I have nothing at stake. But if this is your home, and elders, if these are your sheep, you have everything at stake. Why do I tell you this? Because you need to understand what it means to follow. You want to follow guys like that. Now, you want to follow the guys with the big heart and in our setting, steel-toed boots. Because they get the work done. And they do it with passion. And they'll take the blows. And they keep moving forward. Because why? The flock is important. That's the kind of elder, someone who's called from God, big heart, steel-toed boots. Write that down. You know? That's the kind of guys you want to follow. Here's a quote for you. If you can't stand the smell of the sheep, you shouldn't be a shepherd. You know? And there's a lot of truth in that, especially if you've been in church a long time. Because we're brothers and sisters, and some of us are crazy brothers, and some of us are crazy sisters, but we're still part of the family. You can't stand the smell of the sheep, you shouldn't be a shepherd. There's a times when elders have to get tough with the flock, and there are times when they have to hold them in their arms, just like a shepherd tending the sheep. If they're running for a cliff, they don't stop them and go, may not want to do that. Oh, rest of the flock, let's take a vote. Who thinks that guy ought to run off a cliff? That doesn't happen. And in fact, that's the stupidest thing I probably ever said. But what elders do is they say, bam, knock it off. You're running toward a cliff. It's going to kill you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to damage you. So usually what happens, you smack them on the nose, and then they pick them up and rub the pain away. The person who is doing leadership under compulsion will not do what they need to do. They will, in fact, even have the wrong attitude. They will want to copy somebody else. Now, that's why there's so many books out there. People writing, this is how my church grew from 8 to 8,000 in 8 years. Copy my way. Buy my book. You know, I'll be honest with you. It's fun to read that stuff. Man, that's inspiring. But you know what? What works in California, New York, Texas is not going to work in Iowa. Why? They still think that we are using covered wagons and don't have indoor plumbing. And it's not, what they're doing is not going to work here. But you know what will work? Okay, this is really revolutionary. Correct preaching of Scripture and discipleship. That's why after 18 to 24 months, the elders came back with our vision statement. Love God, love others, serve the city. It is so simple. It's so simple. But Kelly, if it's so simple, why are we struggling with it? Because we're not following correctly. We're not following correctly. Sometimes just follow. You know, have your scriptures out. Understand what's going on. Have relationships with the leaders. Love them. Trust them. Because I know they care for you. You know? Which leads me to number 3. The manner that an elder leads. How are the elders supposed to lead the church? Well, verse 3 says we're not supposed to lord it over them. Ha ha. I'm an elder. I'm sitting up here on my big golden throne, and I'm growing a nice big long white beard to show you that I have more wisdom than you. It's not to be like that. They're supposed to be guys who are in the trenches with you, living and doing life and setting the example. The best illustration I've ever heard of leadership is you look at leadership like doors in a church. You know, you walk in the main door. Who can walk in the main door? Anybody. And you have this big foyer. You walk in, they're all there. People of the world, Christians, they come in. And as they move closer, you become a member of the church. You come into the doors of the sanctuary. And the number's a little bit smaller because people have committed and done a little bit. Then you find a little bit smaller doors, and you go through those doors, and that's where the deacons and the elders are, the leaders of the church. You know? And then there's even a smaller door and a smaller room out back. And that's where the elders are, where it's a fewer number. And if you look at it that way, those are the guys that are super committed, are super examples, and we should desire to be like. Now, I had a professor in Bible college, and I still talk to him. His Bible would not shut because he read it so much. And to me, that just blew me away. And every Bible, I come look at my Bible, I go, man, it's still shutting all the way. I still think like that. Does it mean I'm not reading it enough? No, I probably read it more on the computer than I do in my preaching sword, you know. But I just think about that. I'm like, man, I should rumple that up a little bit. We're called to be like those leaders. Why? Because they should have the mind of Christ. They should understand the will of God a little bit more. Deacons also. don't understand deacons. They're a funny bunch. No, I'm just kidding. They're great guys. But you gotta understand, some deacons are called just to be deacons. We get this idea that it's a training program for eldership. I know some deacons, and they're happy just doing what they do. They've been given a task. They like it. It's frustrating sometimes. But you know what? It's what they put their heart and their soul into. And there are some deacons that are going to get called to the big leagues, you know, if you will, and they're going to become elders. And there are some elders that aren't even going to be deacons. They're just going to be guys that just stand out in the flock. That guy, we need to watch him. Because he's already doing the ministry of the deacon. He's just not voted in. He doesn't care about that. You know? Enthusiasm. That's how an elder leads. Joy. Giving glory to God in all that he does. They are not to lust for power. Their character qualifications are important because an elder is called to be an example. And the effective leader is one who is an example of what they want other people to do and to be. They will be men who will lead you into battle with Satan. They will be men who are above reproach within the church and in the world. Integrity matters. Reputation matters. In conclusion, leadership in the church is important. We want leaders who do a good job. Why? So we can follow. So we can follow. And today, if you're going, Kelly, I know all this stuff. Listen to this thing. One piece of advice. Take it seriously. Question. Talk. Listen to answers. Study well. But take it serious. As I look into the congregation, I see some men who will serve well. I see some men who are thinking about it. They will serve well. It's one of my dreams that the leaders, I think some of them do now, look out and they know exactly who God is calling. Because they stand out automatically. I do hope our deacons someday desire the position of elders. Out of joy. I love this place. I want to serve this place. Instead of, man, I hate it. Nobody says anything nice to me. All they do is complain to me. Tell me why things aren't changing. And when I say something, they say, well, that's not my job. I'm not supposed to change. You're supposed to change. That crushes me. Throws them outside. Let me tell you, church, we're called to edify one another. We're called to lift people up. We're called to have men who lead us, who are tough and soft all together. Because they will make a stand. And they will hold you. Now, maybe you desire to be an elder. I ask you to start preparing today by praying for yourself. Ask your accountability partner. Start praying for you. Ask the church elders about it. You think I'm a good elder? Think I'm good material for that? No. Our elders want to hear that. But you know what else? You don't ask that, they might notice you. They might come up to you and they might go, you ever thought about being an elder? This is what's involved. You might hear some stuff about toughness, but you're gonna hear testimonies of joy. You know? Of scooping the walks, of mowing the grass. You're gonna hear stories of, no, we We went as a group and we prayed for somebody. You know? And you're going to hear times of, we had to ask this person to quit teaching. This is why. Or we had to correct the ship a little bit, if you will, because it was getting off course. Church, I want to see you follow well. I want to see you fall more in love with Jesus than you ever have done before. That's why the elders have spent so much time talking about vision. That's why I spent 8 weeks preaching through a series of vision. Now I've kind of taken a step back and we're talking about how do you live out that vision. Love God, love others, serve your city is not something that we came up with. We stole it right out of the Bible. It's a vision that God has for his churches. If you can't follow well, you need to look into your heart. You need to ask yourself, why am I having such a hard time with this? We're all called to be ministers of reconciliation, having those right relationships. And we're all called to fix those relationships if they're messed up. We're also called to follow the leaders, if you will. Because they're following Jesus and showing you more of Jesus. They're protecting you. They're loving you. And they want to see the best for you. We have good leaders here at the Morningside Church of Christ. It's been a legacy that has been laid out of good leaders. Help them become better leaders. Help this church become a faithful church. A church that does things correctly. I don't know where you are. Maybe you're like, man, I wanted to hear more about Jesus today. Well, Jesus died for you. Jesus set you free. If you need to make him Lord of your life, I invite you to come forward. If you want to talk more, talk to me. Talk to one of our elders. They're qualified men to tell you about Jesus. That's the best thing that we could do. You know, this week, I got to talk to, how many kids were there, Allie? 70, 80, 60? 60. And I got to tell them that I've been in ministry about 20 years and that my job is telling people about Jesus. The elder's job is to tell people about Jesus. Let them do that well. If you need to make a decision today or you want something you want to say, a testimony, I invite you to come forward. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today, for this challenging passage of Scripture, Father, that shows us how to live a life of following. That we're called to follow not only you, but the people that you have put in authority. God, I thank you for that. I ask you that when times are tough, give us the courage to work things out. When times are good, just to give you glory and to give you all the praise that you deserve. Father, this church is not a church about us, but it's about you. We are actually the sheep, and you are the great shepherd. Lead us and allow us to follow you and do it well. God, be with us today as we worship you, as we partake in your supper, and we remember the great sacrifice of atonement that happened on the cross, and the taking away of our sin, giving us a life of freedom. Father, allow us to always remember that. It's about you. Increase in us your spirit. Today, Father, just accept our hearts and our decisions that are being made right now. It's in your name I pray.